Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Well, the question was, Javier's been really good, number one. And number two, we didn't feel that extra day off, you know, would hurt Justin. It would probably be to his benefit.
So going forward, the Astros, who have been very close to the vest when it comes to who they announce starting lineup-wise, who they announce rotation-wise, it will be the same for the next two nights, even with the extra day of rest. You will see Lance McCullers on the hill for the Astros tonight in Philadelphia. You will see Christian Javier for Game 4 in Philly. And Justin Verlander, at least as far as we stand right now, he will start on Thursday for the Astros in a Game 5, which could potentially be a do-or-die game for either Houston or for Philadelphia. As far as Philadelphia going forward, Ranger Suarez, he takes the hill tonight. Aaron Nola, your Game 1 starter, he will start tomorrow night. Noah Syndergaard, he will get the start for Game 5. I wonder if that's possible to change just because, say, the Astros have a 3-1 series lead on Thursday. Wouldn't you rather put Zach Wheeler in to start that game or put Zach Wheeler in early, even if Wheeler got shelled by the Astros early on in Game 2? Whatever the case, there was a lot of complaining online, and I know that complaining online is not necessarily a reflection of the entire fan base, but there was enough complaining that I just felt was unbecoming coming from Houston Astros fans about the postponed game. Too much for my taste. This is the best team in baseball. If a rain delay gives a team that they are playing against an advantage to the point where the Astros don't win, then they never deserve to win it in the first place, right? I mean, obviously, things can happen in the playoffs that aren't expected, like the Dodgers with all those regular season wins going home the first round that they play to San Diego, or say Cleveland was able to beat New York. Cleveland beating New York, that was something that I imagine no one would have guessed during the first half of the year when New York was as hot as they were to open the season. That can happen. But ultimately, baseball should be, I think, about the body of work. And the Astros, the best team in baseball, should not be fazed by a rain delay messing their schedule up. Now, maybe it's going to be hard for Astros players last night to find themselves reservations, as highlighted by Dusty Baker. I thought that was a delightful first world kind of complaint during Dusty Baker's press conference after it had been announced that the game would be postponed. And he did say, yeah, we've been resting a lot this postseason. He is not kidding. There were, I think, too many days in between the wild card series that the Mariners beat Toronto in and the start of the divisional series. I thought there were too many games between the end of the American League Championship Series and, of course, the start of the World Series in hell, with the Astros sweeping the divisional series, having to wait as long as they did for Cleveland and New York to clean things up with a little postponement along the way. Yeah, annoying. Shouldn't be an obstacle. Shouldn't be an issue. They have way more pitching than Philadelphia. And I just get annoyed by the people that complain, woe is me, because the Astros have to wait a couple of extra hours, days, etc., to play against this Philadelphia team that they completely outclassed. don't tell me about game one. Just don't. I don't take game one particularly seriously. Justin Verlander was terrible in that game. Outside of that, where has Philadelphia really had the upper hand in this series? If you're a Philadelphia fan, are you feeling good at all? Having watched these first two games, I mean, maybe you're thinking to yourself, hey, well, we have a chance. You saw the toughness that we showed in game one. It all was against Justin Verlander. So I would just say from a vibes perspective, and sorry to throw the V word at you as much as I have been over the course of this week and over the course of these playoffs, but from a vibes perspective, I feel like if you are the Astros right now, you are supremely confident. And I think if you're Philadelphia, you're feeling lucky to even be in a tie series right now. Ranger Suarez. Oh, wow. Ranger Suarez is going to get to start instead of Noah Syndergaard, who won't go until game five. I would imagine Philadelphia prefers to put Suarez in, but we did see Suarez a couple of nights ago, and maybe that's something that affects him. Maybe that's something that keeps him from going deep into a game. Like, there are, I think, some things for Philadelphia that are mildly inconvenient that come of this, but that has to do with Rob Thompson, the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, making that decision to actually put Suarez in game number one. I'm just saying stop complaining about the rain delay. That's it. Yep, the Phillies don't have a dome. Most baseball stadiums don't have roofs. I don't think baseball stadiums really should have roofs, but if it's in Houston where it's hot as hell, or it's in Dallas, or it's in Atlanta, or in Tampa Bay, Miami, those are the exceptions. What do we have here on the text line on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? If you take Verlander out of it, the Phillies only scored one run in game number one. Yep, that's how it works. Another text, 713-780-3776. Is that the same guy who told me the NBA season doesn't start until December? WTF is he talking about the NBA after I gave y'all a free pick on the 76ers because we had the info? Oh, so that's the guy who called in with the Phillies with the 76ers pick yesterday. How about that? He had a bad bowl of oatmeal per this texter. Maybe we should be getting more like hot inside basketball takes from random guy from the 561. We'll take care of the NBA, he says. And then he calls me a mix between Pee Wee Herman with a sprinkle of Mike Tyson. I think you're valueless, sir.
Wait, Pee Wee Herman and Mike Tyson?
Mm-hmm. Want me to try that? It'd be a lisp, high-pitched voice.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. I could not think of two more different people and then say you're a mix of these two crazy people.
Well, there are some similarities between them, right? Like, haven't both done the sex crimes of sorts, different ways.
Yeah, Pee Wee. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I won't defend Pee Wee Herman on this issue.
I'm trying to find a way to do a cross between a Pee Wee Herman and Mike Tyson.
That's why I was like, what does that lisp even mean?
So there has to be a lisp. Yeah, I can't do it. 713-780-3776. If you can do a Mike Tyson / Pee Wee Herman impersonation. We do have the Astros World Series against the Phillies on deck all show long. Any other details that we find, we will share them with you. Up next, we do have something interesting to talk about in the college football world. Why did it take Texas A&M this long to put in Connor Wigman? Plus, some other thoughts from the college football world next right here. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
And Fuentes Respector on the Twitch. Peasant franchises can't afford a retractable roof. It's aesthetically cool to have one on top of being convenient. I just don't think that any of these stadiums want to have a retractable roof. They all want to have a pretty view of the skyline. They want the concerts that they can have in the future to be outside. They don't have to deal with the 100-degree-plus a giant scoop of humidity summers that we have. They get nights in the summers where it's like 78. And that's the best time of year for these people who don't even have air conditioning.
But then it rains all October.
I agree.
But I guess, they don't play that many October baseball games. But still.
They almost never play October baseball games, Sean Mabes. Right, you are. It also snows in April. Why is Minnesota Stadium outside? Makes no sense to me. Same thing with Detroit. Like, there are some times where you're like, oh, this doesn't make sense. But then you realize baseball's supposed to take place in the spring. And if global warming's happening, like some people say, thanks China and India, then theoretically, you know, the outdoor stadiums should work. Right? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a simple sports talk show host. Speaking of sports, college football's won. What's going on in college football right now?
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to
alleviate
the effects of
time to put down the books and crack open a college football six-pack.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
With Paul Gallant.
Let's do it.
So, about damn time, right? About damn time that Texas A&M finally just stopped. Whether it's Haynes King or Max Johnson, and they just go to the kid, the freshman, the five-star recruit. And they finally did. In Saturday's loss to Ole Miss, 31-28. I'll admit I did not watch this game. But I talked to some friends afterwards, and they said, yeah, Connor Wigman's way better than anyone else that we were throwing out at quarterback. And if you took a look at what Wigman was able to do, at the very least, in the first quarter, it was pretty damn good. Take a look at the stat line after the game. Whoa, 4 touchdown passes, 338 yards, a yard per attempt that's over 3? I'm being a little bit exaggerative in that little spot, but this should have happened a long time ago. Texas A&M's quarterbacks sucked to open up the year, and if Jimbo Fisher is on a hot seat in College Station, I'm not 100% sure that he is. This could have definitely avoided even the possibility had they done this a little bit earlier. I really can't for the life of me figure out why they thought after multiple games that either Haynes King or Max Johnson was somebody that they should continue to roll with.
The 28 points that they scored against Ole Miss is the most points they've scored against a Power 5 opponent since, I think it was October 23rd last year. So they went 12 full months without scoring more than 24 points against a Power 5 opponent. But Connor Wegman stopped that streak by scoring 28.
I mean, Sean, they still have only scored over 30 points once this season, and it was against Sam Houston State. So, not great, Bob. Anyway, hey, at least they finally pulled the trigger, but here you are, 1-4 in the SEC. It's been a disastrous season for the Texas A&M Aggies. Up next, so this coming Saturday, we're finally going to see Georgia and Tennessee play one another. I watched Georgia go up against my beloved Florida Gators and take them to the woodshed in a game where, at the very least, Florida did cover, so there was that. But, you know, we're talking 42-20. God. And Tennessee absolutely skull-murdered Kentucky. That was a beating. 44-6. You should have Tennessee at number one right now. I know that Georgia's number one. Maybe that has to do with last year winning the national title. But I think what they've been able to do this season has been more impressive than what you have seen out of Georgia to this point. Like, I don't think this has been, as far as Georgia seasons go, the kind of year where you're like, hey, like, these guys are the definitive de facto number ones. And I know that over the last couple of weeks that they have been blowing people out, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Florida. But who have they really played this year outside of Oregon to open up the season? They played Samford and Kent State. they played South Carolina. I don't think Georgia should be number one. I think Tennessee should be the number one team in the country.
We'll never know until we see them play on the field, which will be Saturday.
Literally Saturday.
2:30.
It's a good Saturday coming up.
Yeah, one versus two.
I love it. At 2:30 on a Saturday. And also, it's in the SEC, so it just means more. You got Alabama and LSU. LSU kind of frisky all of a sudden. Alabama certainly beatable. It's going to be a nice Saturday of college football. How about that? Will there be a baseball game that takes 12 hours that gets in the way? Like the last time against the Seattle Mariners. I can't say.
Will the Astros game be on TV1 at the Gallant household?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is not. I probably won't have another game on when the Astros are on.
Okay.
This is the one where you really got to focus. But it's crazy. I have not watched, now that I think about it, I have not watched one Astros playoff game at my house this year. Game 1 against the Mariners, game 2 against the Mariners, I was there. Game 3, watched at a friend's house. Game 1 against the Yankees, I was there. Game 2 and 4, we both watched together on a plane. Game 3, I watched in Vegas. Game 1 and Game 2, I was there. So whatever I do for tonight's game, that's going to be the first time that I watch it. Maybe I have to watch it outside the house from a superstition perspective. Do I need to watch the game out? I kind of don't want to. I'm kind of tired of watching the games out.
Yeah, I don't think you have to. Because they lost game one. All your superstitions really got bailed out by them losing game one. Because I think you're off the hook for a lot of them.
Ooh, little SEC music. Hey, how about that Michigan-Michigan State fight? What's up with Michigan and getting in all these fights this year? Because there was the one that was with Penn State where there was like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich thrown at somebody else. Now, we have a brawl taking place in the tunnel. What went down? Was it just boys will be boys? Nope. Michigan State players surrounded and assaulted Jaden McBurrows after Michigan took down Michigan State 29-7. Not good. Kind of funny, though. Am I bad that I feel that way?
In what way is this funny, Paul?
It's kind of funny that a brawl can take place in the middle of a tunnel after a game is done, where a team that lost would beat up on a guy who beat them. Why that happened, I'm not sure. I'm watching the video of it right now. It's funny to see all the people with the cell phones that are coming in to record it. It's kind of hard to see what's going on, at least in the video that I see. It says footage of the scuffling from Matt Charbonneau. Whatever the case, Jim Harbaugh wants guys charged with assault.
We have an ongoing police investigation. What happened in the tunnel was egregious. Sickening to watch the videos, the ones that are on social media right now, and also the ABC tunnel cam. It's in a higher elevation. It shows much more of what took place.
See, Rusty Harden.
As I said, those are sickening to watch. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be a full, thorough, timely investigation. I can't imagine that these I can't imagine that this will not result in criminal charges. The videos are bad, and it's clear what transpired. It seems very, very open and shut.
Yeah. Maybe not Rusty Harden as much as Tony Busby kind of approach from Jim Harbaugh right there. I guess it is assault. It's kind of weird the way that we look at football players going after one another on a football field. If it's a brawl, is it really that big of a deal? But when we're in the tunnel and it's like a bunch of guys going after one guy whose helmet is off, I suppose that makes it a little bit more dangerous. Just a wild guess. I would imagine there will be some expulsions for this. If we're really taking it seriously.
Michigan State players have already been suspended indefinitely.
Okay, so
they're probably going to get kicked off the team.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also making sense, Auburn firing a head coach, because that's what they do best. Brian Harsin, he's out after 2 years. 21 games. Man, who would want that job? I mean, didn't the guy who won a national title there get fired after like 3 years later?
I mean, he basically owes that national title to
Cam Newton.
To Cam Newton and Gus Malzahn.
Fair enough.
After both of them left, they immediately went like 6-6 and then 3-9, and then he got fired.
Okay. Still, who would want this job?
Me. I'll coach him for a year and a half and then get fired. I will do that.
Well, I mean, we both would gladly take this job. But I mean, if you're a legitimate college football coach, why would you want this job? There's no job security here. You're likely not going to be able to compete on a real sense with Alabama or with A&M and the money that they have, or with
Georgia, who they play every year.
That, I forgot about that.
They play Alabama and Georgia every year.
Same division as LSU, too. So LSU is always going to have a ton of really good players. And now Brian Kelly's there. So you assume that that program will be able to right the ship. Yeah. Why would you want this job? It is not an easy one. And they don't have any patience. And I don't understand why they don't have any patience. When is it that Auburn could say, yeah, like we stand out above everybody else outside of, as you mentioned, with Cam Newton on a team that had like one first round pick despite winning a national title? It was just Cam Newton. I don't know if Nick Fairley got picked that year's draft.
He was
a first round pick?
Yeah, he was the 10th pick or something.
Okay, like that, but that's it.
On their offense, they literally had not just no one that got drafted in the first round. I don't think they had anyone who got drafted off their offense.
Yeah. That's a messy place. It's funny to watch from afar, but like, if you're Auburn, what kind of world are you living in where you're like, yeah, we could do better than this? Can you? Does anyone want to do better with you? All questions I can't answer. Anyway, that's a college football six pack. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. David Hensley is in the Astros lineup tonight. Is there anything else that maybe they could do to get a little more juice out of the offense? Or am I about to retire my free Christian Vasquez in place of Martin Maldonado take? That's on the table. And we'll continue to take a look at what could be coming from the Philadelphia Phillies. Does anyone in that pitching staff of theirs pose a threat to the Astros? And if no one does, then why is everyone whining about the rain delay? It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, one you can jump aboard at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, to text or call the HR&P listener line. I did ask a couple of questions in the last segment, and one of them was, who would take the job at Auburn? And it is kind of funny to see the immediate responses. Bill O'Brien has been texted in multiple times. He's the leading candidate, I guess? That's what one texter at least is suggesting. That doesn't sound right.
No, Lane Kiffin was reported from Auburn Insiders to be the guy.
Lane Kiffin's not leaving the Oxford Grove for Auburn. Would you leave Ole Miss for Auburn? Serious question. If you have any context, I wouldn't in a heartbeat. No.
To coach football games or to live, to party?
His name is Joey Freshwater.
Okay.
Where would you want to be? Auburn? I don't even know where that is. Or do you want to be in Oxford, which sounds like it's the best?
I love Paul Gallant's like trying to help advise like college kids for where they want to go to school.
Oxford is where you want to go. I'm not kidding. My old co-host Brian Straw, when I was working back at the flagship, used to tell me all of these stories about Oxford. And then, of course, I started reading about Oxford, and then I saw pictures of Oxford, and I'm like, yeah, that's where I'd want to be. If it's not just about school, that's where I'd want to go. Is that a ringing endorsement for your school? Probably not. But it's a ringing endorsement for elements of your school.
Also, it doesn't really factor into Lane Kiffin's decision-making.
Yeah.
Because he can't go to the tailgates before the game.
Well, it's not just about the tailgates, though. The tailgates are great. I'm not talking about just the tailgates.
What are you talking about? Say it. Say it. What's so bad that you can't say it onto a microphone?
It's not that it's bad. Like, it's, you either know or you don't.
Say it.
There's a lot of talent there.
There isn't in Auburn?
I think there's more talent in Ole Miss than there is in Auburn. Yes.
But also, okay, why does that matter?
For Lane freshwater, Kiffin. It matters. I'm not saying for anybody.
I don't think it matters. Because in Auburn,
it matters.
In Auburn, you're only going to be there for 2 years.
Okay.
There doesn't have to be as much talent because you're going to run through less of them. If we're being pigs like you, Paul.
I'm not being a pig.
No, you're saying there's more talent, so you wanna sleep with all the college girls.
That's
Paul.
Not what I'm saying.
You want Joey Freshwater.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying from a recruit perspective, you're going to have a more fun time if you're at Ole Miss. That's not debatable to me. And on the other side of things, if you're Joey Freshwater, why would you want to leave? You have less pressure on you in this situation, and the situation is just better from an aesthetic standpoint, where Auburn, you're going to get canned after a year, no matter what happens, because that's just how it goes. Other comments as far as other possibilities. Matt Rhule will go there. I don't know if he'd be a fit. Can't be wearing a smock on the sideline. Art Briles would go there. Yeah, Art Briles would go anywhere. I don't think Art Briles can go anywhere, though. I mean, shoot, where did he end up going? Was it Grambling State? He was like Hugh Jackson's assistant coach?
He was not allowed to actually coach Grambling State.
Right. Like, he got fired before it even started. By the way, just classic Hugh Jackson. Thomas Herman. I like that he's being called Thomas. There's another text, too, before we dive back into the World Series. I do want to address this one because we are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. This one from the 281. Just heard Paul's rant about Kyrie. Paul's a big-ass crybaby. He sounded like a little bitch whining about Kyrie. Grow some nuts, other word for vagina. Here is my question in response to that. Why is it that when you sound animated criticizing someone, you're whining? And I would love to know why this person felt that it was whining. Probably because he feels the same way about Kyrie Irving, about at least something in life. That's the only reason I would think that anyone would come in and say that. So I'll say to you, Mr. 281, much like I said to Cowboy Trav, who believes me to be a sweet boy, I encourage you to call in, see what happens. That's all I'm asking, because I want to have a conversation with you. Of course I'm going to crush Kyrie Irving. He sucks. Anyone who thinks that the things that come out of his mouth are truthful also suck. They are the worst. He stinks. He's not good enough at basketball anymore, in my opinion, to just be strolling around with a hot take after hot take after hot take and not actually backing it up with anything. Because his play isn't backing it up because he's barely played for the last 2 years. As far as the Astros are concerned, I thought that Dusty Baker deserves a lot of credit for putting David Hensley into the designated hitter spot for Game 3. That's something that I think many of us, at the very least, we're wondering why it hadn't happened yet. Especially after that at-bat that he had in Game 1 and with the struggles of both Trey Mancini and Aledmys Diaz. Here's Dusty Baker yesterday after it was announced that the game was postponed, talking about one David Hensley.
Well, you know, I like his approach, his aggressiveness, and his overall fight to give you a good at-bat. You know, he'll fall off some pitches. He'll put some others in play. He uses the whole field. And, you know, he's a guy that's risen to the occasion, especially when I had asking to pinch hit. I mean, which is very, very tough for anybody, but especially tough for young players to pinch hit. He's done well in that role. Like, if I give him four at-bats, he does well. If I give him one at-bat, I know it's going to be a tough at-bat.
I feel the same way. Maybe I shouldn't because we're only talking about one at-bat for his entire playoff sample size, and that at-bat feels like ages ago. It was weeks ago. It's been a very long time since we've seen Hensley at the plate, and he deserves credit It was a feisty at bat. He eventually gets hit. And it's, at least on a per at bat basis, the one at bat, much better than what we've gotten from Trey Mancini and better than what we have seen from Aledmys Diaz as well. It is surprising that they have not considered other options, though, at the designated hitter spot. I get that it would be maybe a little bit more difficult to switch Christian Vasquez from the designated hitter to catcher. You'd have to do all sorts of weird baseball things that shouldn't be this difficult. I feel like you should just be able to switch a guy's position at some point during the game, but maybe that's the point of the designated hitter, to make it a little bit more difficult to have complete flexibility throughout a lineup. And I suppose that you could just, you know, switch one guy to designated hitter over the course of a game and do things that work out for you. Whatever. All you need to know is that they are going in a different direction at the designated hitter spot. And I am no longer of the belief that you need to have Christian Vasquez behind the plate. I think what you've gotten from Maldonado has been adequate. I do think that Vasquez is a significantly better postseason bat. We've seen that from the past with him with the Boston Red Sox. But at this point, shouldn't you just go with what's been working? That's not me saying that Dusty Baker was necessarily right along the way. I do think that you would perhaps be getting just as much of a contribution defensively from Vasquez as you are from Maldonado. I do think at times Maldonado, his value to this team is a tad overstated, but it's been working. Why shake it up? Why change it? How do we get him to be able to use Albert Pujols' bats? I really want to know how we figure that out. It's kind of BS that Albert Pujols, his bat is safe for him because it's been grandfathered in, and it's not safe for Martin Maldonado, and it leads to some scraping the surface takes from Yankee fans like Jake Marsh about how, oh, well, this is kind of cheating, until they actually like dig in and see, oh, it's a safety issue. Whatever.
For me, it's like awful job by Fox explaining the
terrible
that. Like, they just were like, yeah, he's using a bat that turned out to be illegal because I don't know, who knows why. All right, back to the game. It's like there's not enough downtime in a baseball game to explain, like, oh, it's because it's a safety issue.
Great question.
They just didn't have time to explain that. Too high pitched, too high fast pace of action during a Martin Maldonado at bat.
Supposedly during the locker room availability after the game, too, he was being confronted like he was a politician who had just had sex with a staffer. It was like one of those kind of things where people were really trying to get after him. I'm assuming it was Philadelphia media.
Like he was Kyrie Irving's having to defend his Instagram post.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. That person should call it, definitely. Like, why is it whining to criticize somebody? This is the regular comment that I get.
Stop whining about him promoting anti-Semitism. You're whining about that.
You know, when you put it like that, he has a point. You know, why am I whining?
Stop whining about hating Jews.
Yeah. I mean, what am I doing here? You know, it's a good point. All right, 713-780-3776. If you have any final thoughts, Astros and Phillies, game number 3. Some final thoughts on that game next. First, though, look, if you own your home, listen up, grab the phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver you big savings, and you will not even have to talk to an agent. You're paying too much for your home insurance, but maybe you don't want to shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. Not anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system that instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message, and you'll probably save a bunch of money. Take your phone out right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. Send that back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can tweet as well. At Gallant Says on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A comment. Hey, are guys listening still? Cowboy Trap. Hey, sweet boy. So what about the trade deadline? Kyrie is as good as you are in radio. Nah, he's way better. Keep my name out your mouth. Kyrie would be great on the radio. I mean, are we denying that? Talking out of your ass for long tangents on the air, getting defensive when someone calls you on them. I mean, that's the perfect repertoire, the perfect array of talents for someone like Kyrie to succeed in this industry.
I will say he'll have to be careful because he'll probably get deplatformed pretty quick.
That is true, but not anymore.
Some of the stuff that he says.
Elon Musk is here to save the day.
Oh, so he can have Twitter spaces?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Kyrie Irving here on the Twitter Space Show.
Twitter's going to save free speech. Cool. Let's
talk about Flat Earth. It's a thing, guys. I know you don't believe me. Flat Earth, Jews, it's all on the table. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN.
Do not call in with either of those things.
Listen, it's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
The Kyrie Irving sports show is the most interactive sports show in Houston.
That's the most interactive sports talk show in Twitter spaces. And instead of saying, like, all takes matter, like we say, they say the same thing, but they also are like, we're serious about that. Like, we do want that Philadelphia 76ers fan calling in to give us his free play.
Actually, some takes don't matter because they're what are taught in schools. And those takes don't matter. Those are the wrong takes. The right takes are random documentaries that I see.
And everything that comes out of my mouth.
Yes.
Unless I correct myself. Because then it becomes more right.
But don't call me on it. But I'm a free thinker, open-minded, but I don't care what you think.
That would be pretty funny if the whole point of the show is, this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, but if you don't agree with what I say, you're not welcome.
Yeah, well, stop dehumanizing me.
That's true. I feel like Cowboy Trav is dehumanizing me. Calling me a sweet boy?
By the way, Cowboy Trav, the Lions traded TJ Hawkinson to the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, so Sean Mapes is providing
the
trade update.
Brandon Cooks, Texans still fielding calls. They'll probably take it down to the buzzer.
3:00 Central. That's when the NFL trade deadline is. Not that interesting. I mean, Roquan Smith going to the Ravens, like, that's cool. But is that going to change things for Baltimore? Especially with the offensive issues that they've been having of late? I don't know about that. It's a middle linebacker. How much of an impact does a middle linebacker make? I think anyone who's watched the Texans the last couple of years will tell you that, yeah, you want to have better ones than the guys that they have right now. But when you pay one like Bernardrick McKinney or Zach Cunningham a ton of money, generally, that's not going to help you out either. So,
yeah, you just have to make sure they don't absolutely stink. I think that's the most important part.
That's true. A Twitch comment, King of All Twitches asks, Paul, are you ready to pay $20 for your Twitter blue checkmark? I actually do have a point to raise about this. So I have never understood why I'm verified. When I was working back at the Texans flagship, Nick Wright was the only person that was verified on Twitter for a while. But then all of a sudden, through the work of our web guy, Garrett, all of us were verified like the next day, which I was appreciative of. I got followed by a bunch of randos entirely because I had a blue check mark. But I've never understood why I have it. I really haven't. Am I someone who reports on news on a regular basis? Not really. I'm really just throwing and slinging opinions out there.
Well, you did report live from NRG Stadium on Sunday, taking a picture of the empty stadium.
Yeah, I did.
That's journalism right there.
I suppose, but does a blue check mark need to be there for you to get that out to the masses? I don't really think so. Would I pay $20 a month? Honestly, the only thing I would pay for with Twitter, I do like that if you pay $4.99 a month, which I do, you can post a video that's longer than 2 minutes and 20 seconds. I hate that there's that arbitrary limit. I think that's ridiculous. So if I like post some segment that we do on the show, you can go like 220 to 10 minutes or something like that. But think about it from this perspective. On the bench, you got both Lance Zierlein and John Granato. Lance is verified on Twitter. John's been in this city for what? Forever? Knows a ton of different people. Probably is more connected because of the fun person he is with people in the Houston sports world than anybody. And he will tweet things out from time to time, and people will call him on it because he does not have the blue check mark. I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table? Like, just a serious, honest question. John Granato should be verified. I am not. Do I need to be verified going forward? The only thing that verification has brought me has when I changed my opinion on what was going on in Seattle, it led to me getting set on fire on Tucker Carlson. Like, that's all having a blue check mark has done for me, which is to say, not much. Nothing good.
I will disagree. It gave us the show open.
That's true. I got hate mail. Did get me out of my lease. That was fun. Someone found my address. That was interesting. Hey, you're an idiot, but at least you're probably going to change your mind going forward. He actually ended up being right. So we got Astros and Phillies, game number 3 tonight. I'm curious to see how it goes. I do think the Astros have the upper hand. Ranger Suarez, Noah Syndergaard, I don't think it really matters who Philly is throwing out there. I think that you're going to get 5 runs from the Astros. My real big question is, what kind of Lance McCullers are you going to get? Are you going to get the Lance McCullers that you saw against Seattle? Or are you going to get the Lance McCullers that you saw against New York? There is a part of me that feels better about Lance McCullers playing in potentially just different weather, given that he was able to do what he did against Seattle through the smoke. But maybe the smoke just affected that entire game, given that it was a nothing-nothing game into the 18th inning. In New York, a little chillier. Wasn't his best outing. That's for damn sure. Game 4 against the Yankees. So very interesting to see what will take place. I do feel pretty good about the Astros' chances, though, and I still think the Astros are going to win this one in 5. We'll be talking all about it tomorrow on the Paul Galanto, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Coming up next, you got the Killer Bees with Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, until 3 o'clock to get you geared up for that game. Hopefully there's no news of a rain delay in the near future. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday, and peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.